Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, President of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Very exciting, super topical right now. The world's kind of getting all goofy on us, but we're going to make sure that we understand today how the trend of the marketplace when it comes to environmentally social governance, when it comes to understanding the electric car industry, understanding alternative energy, and how that works, from not just from understanding it, but from the investment standpoint, something that, quote unquote, the younger generation is somewhat interested in, because there's no doubt about it that from the vehicle world, from the power world, we are going away from fossil fuels. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we're going to talk with Jonathan Bauman. Jonathan is a vice president of American Century Investments. Very exciting, Jonathan. Thanks for being here.
Sure, Elliot. Thanks for having me.
Great. So let's ask Jonathan some questions. He's got he's a CFA. He's got all types of credentials on sustainable energy. So we're going to get rid of those concepts on sustainable energy and see if we can grill them a little bit so we all understand what's going on in that business. So let's just define this. Before we get into electric vehicles, Jonathan, let's define what is sustainable. What does that word mean? Because when I think of sustainable, I think of crops. When I think of energy, I don't think of that being sustainable, because wind is just so-so and solar is just so-so, you know, cloudy days, dry days, and so forth. What is sustainable and where are we going with this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Elliot. And obviously, there's a lot of talk about sustainability and ESG in the marketplace today. And, you know, as we think about sustainability, it's ultimately things that can be durable over longer periods of time. So you think of fossil fuels, there's a finite amount of fossil fuels available, right? But the wind, even though it doesn't blow all the time, blows pretty consistently every day, right? Most days. The sun doesn't shine every single day, but we have a pretty good idea that the sun's going to continue to shine. And so to be able to harness those forms of energy alongside storing that energy and being able to distribute that energy, ultimately, we believe over time can be more sustainable. And ultimately, you know, power the economy that continues to grow and continues to demand more and more power needs, right? And so it's that transition away from a resource that is finite to something that is more durable. And ultimately, that sustainability can be more of a generator of economic growth moving forward.
Well, great. So let's just go right into this, if we could. And that's talk about batteries, because all this is based on batteries. I'm a little confused why we don't have a hydrogen industry, but I'd love for you to touch on that. But let's talk about what we do have, which is batteries, cars with batteries, homes with batteries, solar is going to batteries. Obviously, the big brand out there is Tesla. Everybody knows that. It's a trending thing. People buy Teslas because they want to be in front of the curve and so forth and so on. So let's talk about the batteries and what's going on with that, because we're still at 300, 400, 500 miles per charge. What do we need to do to get to 1,000? What's going on out there?
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you think about batteries in general, right, they've come a long way, both in their capabilities, right, the amount of energy that they can store and transmit efficiently. And also they've come down significantly in price. So if we just think of from auto perspective, if you look at the price of the battery pack in a vehicle, we've seen that come down over 80% just in the last 8 years. And in terms of the amount of cost per kilowatt hour, right? So for the amount of energy that you're getting. And so that's really been a big driver in this inflection that we've seen in demand for electric vehicles, because the cost has become a more achievable, if you will, to the average investor, or excuse me, the average consumer. To your point, Tesla was the early leader here. They've always had a premium product, right? They started with the Model S, which is a very expensive sedan, the Model X, a very expensive SUV, and then in recent years have launched more, which you could define as more mainstream sedans and SUVs, the Model 3 and the Model Y, and that really was driven by lower cost of batteries, right? More efficient batteries and lower cost. And at the same time as you've seen costs come down, you've also seen the efficiency of the battery and therefore the miles that you can go on a charge in an electric vehicle increase, right? Most vehicles coming out to market today are over 300 miles range. You think back to the Nissan Leaf, which was one of the early vehicles out there and sort of the middle of the market from a pricing standpoint. It was 75 miles to a charge, which for most people didn't really work very well. So I think as we've passed the 300 mile range, there's some cars now that are like the Lucid Air that's targeting 500 miles. Some of the newer, larger vehicles like SUVs that are coming out that, because they're larger, have more capability to have more batteries on board, are going to also target larger distances. And so I think that sort of complementary effect of cost coming down, efficiency going up, are really helping scratch that itch for consumers around the price point in order to buy an electric vehicle. And then also the concern that they may have had around range is also now less of a concern. And that's really been the driver of this sharp increase in growth, really almost 100% year-over-year growth in electric vehicles in the U.S. in 2021 versus 2020. And that's an environment where we have supply chain issues and auto manufacturers can't build as many cars as they could probably sell. And so we think that trend continues and we can expect to see very strong growth going forward. And if you want, we can dive into some of the drivers of that. But in general, kind of back to your original question, batteries have allowed us to store and transmit energy much more efficiently and at a lower cost than what we're able to do.
Great. And let me also tell people, since I forgot to do it early on, how to reach me and how to reach us in the future. It's my email address is Elliot@prosperityfinancialgroup.com. That's E-L-L-I-O-T @prosperityfinancialgroup.com. Our website is www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And you could also call us at 925-314-8503. And we encourage everybody to reach out to us with questions about this or any other financial questions that you might have. So I want to go back to the word driver. And I don't mean the person driving a car, but what's driving the industry, because we're seeing unbelievable growth. Now, profitability and making money, it is a whole nother conversation. And I do want to talk about, as an investor, how does one take advantage of this? Or is this one of those long-term plays here? So let's talk about what are the key drivers. Tesla seems to be leading the charge, but there are a lot of key drivers in the industry.
Yeah, so I'd say if you think about the key drivers of adoption of battery electric vehicles, it really, in my view, falls into three buckets. The first is what we'll call the regulatory sticks. So you think of a stick, sort of something that's prodding you to move ahead, right? And those things are increasingly driven by the government, right? So whether it's emission mandates, Europe, for example, has a Fit for 55 climate plan where they're targeting a 55% reduction in emissions by 2030. In the US, we have the CAFE standards. Sometimes that's mandates, right? So in the case of governments really putting mandates out there and targets that they want to hit. So the Biden administration, for example, is targeting 50% penetration of zero emission vehicles by 2030. And recently signed an executive order targeting 100% zero emission vehicles for the government by 2035. I know, Elliot, you're based in California. They've got a model basically saying that 20% of new sales must be zero emission by 2025, which is not that far away, and are targeting 100% by 2035. And of course, outside of the US and other parts of the world, in Europe and China, there's similar types of mandates. So that first bucket, those regulatory sticks, are really changing the rules of the road, if you will, to mix metaphors there, and ultimately driving consumer behavior because essentially it's the law. The second bucket is what I'll call the incentive carrots, right? So you have sticks you can prod people with, you have carrots you can sort of hopefully entice them along with. And similarly, these are driven primarily by the government, but it's things like tax incentives or subsidies. Not that we really have those here in the U.S. in terms of subsidies, but they are widespread in Europe and China. And in fact, in Europe, there's certain countries and vehicles where you can get up to 9,000 euros in a subsidy to buy an electric vehicle. In the U.S., we've done it more from a tax a tax incentive. So most new electric vehicles in the U.S., there's a $7,500 federal tax rebate, essentially. Now, that is phased out for manufacturers once they reach 200,000 vehicles. So Tesla and GM have run out of those tax incentives at this point. But there is talk and new legislation that's being proposed that would remove that 200,000 unit cap for manufacturers and ultimately even potentially increase from $7,500 to $10,000 those tax incentives. And so more to come on that in terms of what legislation may ultimately make it through the current administration. But those incentives definitely are a big driver as well. And then the last bucket, and I think we've already touched on this a little bit, so I won't belabor this one too much, but it's really the addressing of the consumer concerns that have held many consumers back up to this point. And it's things like the range, right? We've talked about how range has increased significantly to help reduce that range anxiety. It's the proliferation of charging points. So, Tesla's built out their network. Many local municipalities in partnership with utility companies are building out charging stations. Again, back to the Biden administration, their goal is to build out 500,000 charging points as part of the infrastructure bill that was recently proposed. And then lastly, again, we touched on this too, is that falling battery prices and the fact that in reality, internal combustion vehicles have gotten pretty expensive too. You've seen this narrowing of the gap, right, between an electric vehicle and a traditional internal combustion engine vehicle. And oh, by the way, electric vehicles in general have a lot of the characteristics that consumers like. Really good acceleration, the lower maintenance costs, right? You don't have to do oil changes. You don't have to worry about all these internal parts that can break down in an engine. So you're seeing all those consumer concerns really being addressed as that third driver of this acceleration and adoption that we've seen.
So on the negative side of electric vehicles, because we should discuss this, and we're talking with Jonathan Bauman, who's a vice president and portfolio manager at American Century Investments out of Kansas City. As one of the drivers here, I'm an environmentally conscious person no matter what I do. I don't think I'm over the top with it, but I'm trying to be very aware of what's going on around me. And I know that batteries have, the disintegration of batteries is just awful. They go in landfills and they basically will last forever with horribly destructive, poisonous materials, cadmium, lithium, heavy metals that cause all types of terrible things when they get into the water supply or whatever. These are in every electric vehicle. So I know as environmentally conscious people are buying electric cars because that's one of the drivers, but nobody's talking about this. So why aren't we talking about this?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is it's not an issue today, right? As oftentimes we tend to focus on what's right in front of us instead of what's maybe a concern 10, 15, 20 plus years down the road. And today you think of most of the electric vehicles on the road, they haven't been around long enough for their batteries to degrade and have to be scrapped, right? And so there just isn't that concern that people are talking about, but you bring up a very good point and it is a real risk. And the manufacturers are already thinking ahead of us and addressing that. So, Tesla, for example, has recycled every single used Tesla that's no longer useful and used all of those materials that are in those batteries to go towards the manufacturing of new batteries. Ford made a huge investment in a battery recycler. Other auto manufacturers are doing similar things. And you're already starting to see this battery recycling industry take off. Now, none of these are publicly traded companies yet, but there's the materials that come out of the manufacturing process of batteries that are currently being recycled anyway. And then if you add these expired batteries, for lack of a better term, to the recycling food chain, that's going to continue to